everyone. Let's give a good morning. Good morning, everyone. It's good to have so many of you here with us this morning. I also want to say good morning to those who are joining us online. I think especially of Mason and Zabel, who are two people I've talked to recently. I know you're watching online, and there are others, but good morning to you who are watching online. It's good to be with you all. If you do not know, my name is Trevor, and I'm one of the pastors here, and it's really good to be outside with you at John Adams on this November 1st. I want you to think, I'm curious about this question, when was the last time that you fell down and hurt yourself? Just think about that. I'm guessing the smaller you are, the more recent that has been. But for some of us who are maybe a little bit older, when was the last time you fell down and you injured yourself? A few weeks ago, about 3 weeks ago, I was taking out the trash late in the evening. We have the kinds of trash cans that every Sunday night need to be rolled to the curb, taken, and then rolled back. It's a chore that is, because it's endless in nature, I'm never excited about it. And I often wait till the last minute. So Sunday night, you know, sometimes 9 o'clock, I'll think to myself, sometimes later, 10 o'clock, oh, I gotta take the trash out. So I was going to take the trash out, but before I took the trash out, I needed to take the trash that was in our house out to those trash cans. And because I'm lazy, I have a tendency to grab as much trash as I possibly can in both hands on the way to the trash can. Anybody else do that? Anybody else try to minimize trips? Like when you go to the grocery store, you just decide to grab 15 bags per hand just because you don't want to make more than one trip? That's me. I'm in that camp. So it's late at night. I've got a bag full of trash in one hand, a bag full of trash in the other hand, and I'm headed outside to take the trash. It's late at night. Go down the steps, turn to the left, eyes ahead, and all of a sudden my foot gets caught in something and time slows down. Now, in our front yard, we have some planter boxes. They are these kind of thin pieces of wood that make up these six boxes that we sometimes grow food in our front yard. And as time slows down, I realize I do not have the ability to be able to stop what is about to happen. Namely, I'm about to fall chest first onto the edge of this planter. It felt like it was a good minute and a half that I was falling. It was really abrupt. I fell chest first on the edge of the planter, knocked all of the wind out of myself, and at 10:30 at night, think I did something like, and my wife came bolting out to see what had happened and if I was okay. I don't know what happened. I didn't go to the doctor. I probably should have. But I ended up with this giant yellow and purple bruise across my chest. This was 3 weeks ago. And right now, today, if I take a very deep breath, it's still a little bit painful. So I don't know what I did, but it wasn't good. The reason I tell you that story is because in that moment, I didn't see this obstacle. I had tripped over it. I was stumbling around in the dark. I had crashed into the planter, and I was in pain and am still kind of paying for it this morning. And I think in many ways that's sort of analogy of like what most of our lives are like most of the time. Stumbling around in the dark, bumping into things that are causing us pain, and then paying for it later. We find ourselves in the Gospel of John together in John chapter 8 this morning. Jesus has been speaking at the Feast of Booths, the Festival of the Tabernacles, a gathered festival. And at this festival, he's been pulling from imagery in the festival to talk about his own identity. And he's already said that he's the bread of life. He's already said that he gives living water. And then he's going today make another great claim about his own identity. You have to imagine what it was like to be in the dark in the first century. It wasn't like it was filled with power lines and electricity everywhere. Cities, especially cities with lots of people that would be gathered, would light up. They would be like a city on a hill, and you would be able to see them from miles away. I don't know if you've ever taken the 10 East and bumped into Las Vegas, right? If you've ever gone to the, or maybe it's not the 10 East, but if you travel east, when you get to Las Vegas, it's all desert, and then all of a sudden, this city is just so bright. At the Festival of the Tabernacles, it was really common to have these giant candles that were lit up so that people could worship and celebrate all week long. And into the middle of that, Jesus is going to make a claim about his identity. This morning, I want to talk about two things. The first, I want to talk about the light, and then the second, I want to talk about the lost. So first, the light, and then the lost. If you have a Bible in John chapter 8, follow along with me as we read John 8, verse 12 through 20, as we focus in on the light. This is what Jesus says in John chapter 8, starting at verse 12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." The Pharisees challenged him. "Here you are appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid." Jesus answered, "Even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid, for I know where I came from, and I know where I'm going. You judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one. But if I do judge, my decisions are true, because I'm not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me. In your own law, it is written that the testimony of two witnesses is true. I am one who testifies for myself. My other witness is the Father who sent me." Then they asked him, "Where's your Father?" "You don't know me or my Father," Jesus replied. "If you knew me, you'd also know my Father." He spoke these words while teaching in the temple courts near the place where the offerings were put. Yet no one seized him because his hour had not yet come. Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world." If you are a Christian, you ought to write that verse down, highlight it, circle it, memorize it, put it in your car where you can see it. Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. Follow me and you will never walk in the dark again. But you will have the light of life." Our world and our city is filled with great darkness, is it not? The other day I was driving in my car and I hit an intersection, a stoplight, and I looked to my right and there was a bright colored van with an inappropriately dressed woman and a website advertising illicit adult services. I looked away from that and looked to my right only to see a gentleman entering into a psychic sort of space, a space where to go get a psychic reading. And I thought, man, look, isn't it? It's interesting. Over on my right, there is an alluring ad for those who are experiencing discomfort in life and think the answer is seeking a little pleasure. On my right, or on my left, I'm sorry, there's a psychic center that is open to those who are looking for hope in the midst of despair. Darkness is everywhere in our city and in our world because life is painful. Some of you are here this morning and your marriage has been very difficult. You did not think you would be around each other this much. Maybe you would not have gotten married if you knew that you were going to have to be around each other this much. Like you walked down the aisle and said, "Lord, that's great. I can deal with this person regularly, but I don't know that I can be in the same house with them for an entire year." That's going to be challenging, right? You're bumping up against each other and you're butting heads against each other and your marriage has been hard. Some of you have lost your jobs. You've been let go from your work. You've taken a pay cut. Some of your finances are tight. You didn't expect that you'd be dipping into your savings, or you didn't think that you would need savings. Some of you parenting in this season is incredibly difficult. You didn't think that you were going to have to be working and also guiding your children through their school, wrestling with whether or not they're getting a good enough education, teachers working twice as hard to feel like their students are learning half as much. Some of you got broken relationships through social media. You posted that comment, you deleted that comment. You thought about posting it, you didn't post it. You did post it, and then all of a sudden you discovered that you're now at odds with someone who you love and care about. Some of you are deeply lonely. You're missing and experiencing the challenges of being separated. Your health is weak. That celebration that you thought you were going to have that was going to be incredible doesn't look like it's going to be the way that you thought it would be. And then there's politics. There is darkness in our world. And we try to cope with that darkness, don't we? When we experience pain in life, we try to cope with darkness. What do? We try to control things. Some of us, when things are really difficult, the first thing we do is try to figure out, how do I control as much as possible? If I can control as much as possible, then maybe it'll be okay. And then we recognize that control is an illusion. We're never really in control. Or we seek comfort. We purchase more. We've got more Amazon deliveries than we've ever had before, believing that if we can just get cozy enough, comfortable enough, if we can just get, we eat more, we consume more, hoping that that will somehow keep us away from the difficulties of life. Or some of us, we just escape. We drink. We smoke. We dive into another television show. We binge. If I just binge another thing, maybe I can just block out the noise of a difficult and painful world. We are all stumbling in the dark. And we crave light. We crave it because we recognize that things are often out of control. We try to comfort ourselves, but to no avail. I saw someone say yesterday, Halloween is finally here, but we've been wearing masks and eating candy for months. Right? Like, that's just, things have just been difficult. I was sharing with someone earlier that I know someone says, I don't cry anymore because when I feel sad, I pull out my phone. It just gives me a little bit of pleasure to keep it going. And if you stop and you think there are questions that loom above you or maybe inside of you that maybe you ignore that ought to be asked. We live in a world that doesn't want you to ask these questions, but I want you to ask them this morning. I want you to think about them, or at least I want to plant a seed in you to ask this question, these questions this morning. These questions will irritate you if you think about them. Where did we come from? Where are we going? It's amazing that in Scripture, Solomon says that it's better to go to a funeral than a party. Why? Because at a funeral, you actually have to confront the reality that we are all not going to be here 100 years from now. Where are we going? What is right and what is wrong? Is it what your parents taught you? Is it what politicians tell you? Is it what celebrities tell you? Is it our culture? Are we right now but wrong in the past? Are we wrong now but right in the past? How do we know what's right? How do we know what's wrong? How do we know what's best? What's the purpose of your life? Why are you here? Why do you exist at all? No, our world will want you to do just about anything and then to ask those questions. But Jesus says that the clarity that we are looking for regarding our origin, regarding our destiny, regarding our morality, regarding our meaning and purpose is found in him. He stands in the center of our gathering this morning. I hope you can hear him say, I am the light of the world. That's what he claims. Do we have ears to hear? He is the light that we need. And the people that he stands in front of, the Pharisees specifically, dismiss him. They say, you only have your own testimony. You know, you can't listen to you. Who do you think you are making these claims? And Jesus says, no, I don't just have my testimony, though even if I did have just my testimony, it would be valid. I've got the testimony of my Father. My Father sent me. I am from God, and I say it again to you, I am the light of the world. They don't seem convinced. They're okay where they are. And so, I want to pivot to the next section, which is about the lost. This is John 8, verses 21 through 30. Once more, Jesus said to them, I'm going away, and you will look for me, and you will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. This made the Jews ask, will he kill himself? Is that why he says, where I go, you cannot come? But he continued, you are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I told you you would die in your sins. If you do not believe that I am he, you will indeed die in your sins. Who are you? They asked. Just what I've been telling you from the beginning, Jesus replied. I have much to say in judgment of you, but he who sent me is trustworthy, and what I have heard from him I tell the world. They did not understand that he was telling them about his Father. So Jesus said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him. And even as he spoke, many believed in him. Their reaction to rejecting Jesus as the light of the world is that they're okay without the light of the world. And Jesus says, without light, we are lost. Without light, we are lost forever. Without light, we will remain in darkness. Jesus says three times in this text, you will die in your sins without the light of God in you. You will die in your sins if you are not filled with the light. Right by my nightstand in our bedroom, I keep a couple of flashlights. They're just in case of emergency situations. About a year ago, in the middle of the night, my wife woke me up and told me she had heard a noise outside. She asked me if I would go check it out. I wanted to say, why don't you check it out? But I didn't say that, because I love my wife. So I said, all right. So I opened up the drawer, and I grabbed and looked around in the dark at night for the flashlight. I grabbed the flashlight. It's one of those super bright flashlights. It's compact, but it has the ability to cast a very large sort of circle of light in hopes that if I go out and have to confront, I don't know, anything, I will have the light on my side. I put my hand over the light and I click it, only to discover that the battery is dead. That's frustrating. Have no fear, though. I keep a backup. I scramble around again. I find the second flashlight. Once again, just to be safe, I cut my hand over it. I click it. It is also dead, and it's at that moment that I regret the number of children I have and their love for my flashlights. If you have small kids, you know this, right? They love flashlights. They will borrow them constantly and use them when they're not necessary. And so I was so frustrated because here I am. I got to go confront someone with, what, my iPhone? I guess maybe I'll get to film it at the same time, but it's not exactly the same effect. So I was frustrated at them. I'm in the dark, sort of looking, trying to figure out how am I going to go light up this thing. I end up not going outside. That's the end of the story. I just said, let's just see if we hear anything else. I don't really have a light on me at this point, and we don't hear anything else. But in that moment, I was frustrated because I'm scrambling, looking around for some sort of light, and I couldn't find anything that was going to make do with the dark situation I was in. And that's our world. Everyone is looking for light. Everyone is looking for light. Just to be clear, Tuesday's election ain't it. Do you hear me? On Tuesday, right, people are looking for light. So many people in our world have all their hopes based on what happens on Tuesday. Can I just say something really clear? We didn't vote Jesus into the office of Son of God, and we can't elect him out. He sits on that throne and will be regardless of whether or not what we do on Tuesday. He sits on the throne. The kingdom of God is not up for vote on Tuesday. That's the world. Everyone is freaking out as though the history hangs in the balance on what happens on Tuesday. It doesn't. Jesus is still on the throne. We may have to endure some difficulty, but we know who's in control. He is the light of the world. He is from above. We are of below. And sometimes when we tell people, Jesus is the light that you're looking for, everything else that you're looking for is a broken flashlight. When we tell people that, they say, why is Jesus the only way? Why couldn't he give us more ways than one? Because remember, Jesus doesn't say, I'm a light somewhere in the world. He says, I'm the light of the world. And we get frustrated going, God, why didn't you give us more than one perfect flashlight? That's kind of our attitude. God, why didn't you make sticks flashlights? God has given us a perfect light in Jesus. C.S. Lewis says, I believe in Christianity as I believe in the sun, not only because I can see it, but by it I can see everything else more clearly. We understand our world more clearly when we see things through Jesus, when we are filled with his light. And what we ought not to say is, God, why didn't you give us more than one light? What we ought to say is, thank you that there is light for my darkness. Brothers and sisters, friends here, there is light for your darkness. God has not abandoned you. Some of you have secret sins. You've got addictions. You're struggling. You've got a tremendous amount of guilt. You've got brokenness in your life. Light exists for your darkness. And the Bible says that when we receive Jesus, we go from dark to light. We go from guilty to forgiven. We go from broken to whole. We go from empty to filled. Because Jesus was lifted up and he paid for it all. And when you receive Jesus, when you cry out to Jesus and you say, Jesus, I want you to come into my life to be my Savior, to cleanse me, to be my Lord, to lead me, the Bible teaches that we are then filled with the light of life and that we never walk in darkness again. It is the greatest exchange in the world that we get to give God our darkness and he gives us his light. Now, what happens if you're here this morning and you're a Christian and you're feeling quite a bit of darkness? And you're wondering why you're not as bright. Yesterday was Halloween. My youngest son, Oliver, has a super ball. Remember those super balls where you just bounce them as hard as you can and they shoot up into the sky? And he has one that's glow in the dark. So he takes it into a dark place and it doesn't appear to be working. I mean, it works a little bit. There's like a little bit of light, but it doesn't really work. So what does he do? He figures out pretty quickly that if he goes and he stands in front of our door with the screen door open and he takes that little glow-in-the-dark ball and he holds it up to the sunlight, he does that for just a few minutes. Then he runs back into the dark. He discovers something incredible, that glow-in-the-dark ball glows magnificently. Christians glow in the dark. You see, sometimes the reason why our lights are dim is because we, even though we have the light of God in us, we have not run to the light, stood in front of the light, absorbed the light, so that we can then be sent out into the darkness of the world. Christians glow in the dark. In Christ, we become filled with the light of God, and then God sends us into the world so that we might be able to shine in the darkness. There is darkness all around you wherever you go. The light of God is supposed to come into your light so that you would be light in those dark places. You're not the source of light. You're just the one that glows in the dark. You know, as a church, as you know, we just made a tough decision to leave the building where we have met for the last 30, 40 years. That was a hard decision to make. It's been a challenging season for all of us. I mean, we're here at beautiful John Adams. It is beautiful. This is not where any of us thought we were going to be a year ago. And our church has had many challenges. We've lost a chunk of our members who have moved back home to other spaces in the nation. People have lost their jobs. Giving has, you know, as a church, our budget is leaner than we thought it would be. And so it's easy to go, well, we're leaving the building. We're going to do that, right, so that we can try to maintain the status quo to keep this thing going. I want to be clear with you. That's not why we're leaving our building. We are leaving our building because we genuinely believe that we live in a city filled with people who do not know the love of God, who have not experienced the life-changing power of the gospel, and he is calling us into a new season, and that by leaving the building, we might do a more effective job of being light in the darkness. Amen? That's who we're called to be. It is easy to blame the dark for being dark. We ought to ask the question why the light isn't brighter. Jesus says, we are either filled with light or lost in the dark. There is no other way. You are in one of two camps this morning, filled with light or lost in the dark. Does anybody need light in their darkness this morning? If you do, I have good news for you. Jesus will never lead you wrong. We have all been lost in the dark. We all know what it's like to experience the dark. Jesus is the light of the world, and Jesus will never lead you wrong. He is the bread of life. If you're hungry, he is bread. He gives living water. If you're thirsty, run to him. He is the light we follow. If you are in the dark, Jesus is the light of the world. What would it be like if church believed that in such a way that as we approached this week, our lives shone in such a way that people said, while they have political opinions as Christians, those Christians live with a kind of hope in spite of the outcomes of what happens on Tuesday. Those Christians don't seem to be afraid. Those Christians don't seem to be worried. Those Christians seem to be filled with a light that where do we get this light? That's who we are called to be. Jesus is the light of the world, and without light, we are in darkness. So if you're here this morning and you are in darkness, there is good news for you. Jesus is the light of the world. If you are here this morning and you have never received Christ, you've never received him as your Lord and Savior, you've never said, Christ, fill me up with your light. I don't want to be filled with darkness. I want to be filled with spiritual light. If you've never prayed that prayer, I invite you to do it this morning, to trust Jesus this morning and find that he will change your life. He will change your loves. He will be light in the midst of your darkness. Let us pray. Jesus, we have been stumbling around in darkness. We have sinned, and we are sorry for our sins. We turn from them in repentance. We believe that you were lifted up, that you died for us, that you rose again on the third day, that you paid for our sins on the cross. We thank you for your great love. Come into our lives, Lord. Come in as our Savior. Be our Savior. Cleanse us. Be our Lord. Take control of us. Be light in our darkness. For it is our desire to serve and follow you for the rest of our lives. Lord, I offer up to you those who are Christians. Their light has grown dim. Draw them to yourself. May they spend deep time in prayer and Scripture. May they draw close to you. May they get their identity from you. May they look strange in this world for where they put their hopes. I pray for their marriages, for their families, for their jobs, for their health, for their struggles, for their friendships, for all the places where darkness exists, for their addictions, for their habits. Lord, would you be light in their darkness? And Lord, I pray for those who are here this morning who do not know you, those who feel the weight of darkness. I pray that they would know that if they receive you, that you will fill them with light. I pray they would do that this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you that he is the light of the world, and it's in his name we pray. Amen.